The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Welcome to this fifth talk and last talk on Kusala, K-U-S-A-L-A, which is the Buddhist word that we're translating, I'd like to translate as wholesome, and sometimes translated as skillful, and sometimes it's good to understand the word means ethical when it involves how we behave interpersonally. And it's a rich thing that what is internally wholesome becomes externally ethical when we see it in relationship to the world around us. Of course, we don't have to use the word ethical, but it's just wonderful that the word, that what's wholesome within, is concerned with the welfare of others and not causing harm. And it has an interpersonal implications. So today I want to emphasize again that this word kusala, wholesome, is really one of the very important concepts in the Buddhist lexicon, in the Buddha's teachings. And one of the places where it's really held up as being kind of central to it all is in the Eightfold Path. The sixth step of the Eightfold Path is called, usually translated into English as right effort. And it wouldn't be wrong, I believe, to translate the word samma, translated as right, to be translated as complete or consummate or full. And so where the fullness, the wholeness of who we are, is represented by these four ways of participating in this world, four ways of being engaged in this world. So the four right efforts, the four complete efforts, the four wholesome efforts. And so there's four, and each of them is explained from the point of view of either what's wholesome or unwholesome. And so here in the Eightfold Path, in order to really live the Eightfold Path, we have to be able to know how for ourselves to recognize what is wholesome and unwholesome. You don't go to a Buddhist manual and get the list of the wholesome, a list of the unwholesome, and then just follow, live your life by the lists. It doesn't work that way, partly because in some occasions what is wholesome might in other occasions be unwholesome and vice versa. It has a lot to do with the whole ecology of our inner life and the purpose we live, the meaning we assign, and the outer life and what's the context is. It's a very dynamic world, this whole world we live in. And so we want to be able to kind of really be able to feel and sense, not to read carefully, the evidence within and the evidence without. And this both directions is important, and I think it's actually quite important that the word kusala can mean both something deeply personal, like what is wholesome, what feels healthy within, and is ethical. It has to do with the world around us, because the two are related, and the ethical has to do with consequences of our actions. And so part of the big picture, the whole picture, is to be cognizant of the impact that we have, the consequence of our actions. That's part of how we understand what is wholesome. And so it's not just a feel-good movement. It's not just follow your bliss, follow whatever feels good inside, what feels healthy inside, with, you know, who cares about others and the impact it has. These have to be done in coordination, or they're part of the same whole. And so consequences are part of the picture. And it isn't that we have to measure the consequences, but we have to kind of include the idea of consequences likely consequences in the heart's way of processing the whole, so the heart knows how to respond best. So the sixth step of the Eightfold Path is this marvelous word, kusala, wholesome. And there's four right efforts. And I used to ignore it because the technical way it's described in English is kind of boring and off-putting and kind of so technical that it's almost like, you know, like it just tied my kind of mind in knots to consider it. But as I've kind of gone back and really tried to study it and understand it, I find it really rich. So it begins, the first one has to do, there might be a time, someday, by accident, this might be a time, when you're just minding your own business and things are just fine and relaxed and easeful, and there's nothing unwholesome going on in your mind, your heart, your body, you're just at ease, and there's nothing, everything's good, and there's nothing unwholesome. And at that point, maybe you get inspired that that's possible. Maybe you realize that much of your day you're stressed, much of the day you're anxious, much of the day you're going from one to-do list to another, to one thing to the next, and there's never enough time. There's all these ways which we can live our life continuously that if we take an honest look at it, it doesn't really feel healthy. It doesn't really feel easeful. It actually feels it has a continuous, maybe a low-grade stress in it, maybe a high-grade stress in it. And so it's a remarkable thing for some people to go on vacation, to go and meditate, to go and retreat, to do something, to go for a walk in the park, something that really drops all the stresses, all the anxiety, all the continually going that we do. Say, wow, this is possible. Isn't this wonderful? And at some point, there might arise a strong dedication, a strong inspiration to no longer give in to these unhealthy instincts, to not live continuously this way. And so, say that you're finally arrived, and you've maybe through meditation and really deep and peaceful, and things are, there's nothing unwholesome going on. And you suddenly see a thought arise that you would really like to get revenge for your neighbor who has using the leaf blower all the time. And maybe you can go over there and steal the battery from the leaf blower. But you're so peaceful to begin with, and you see these neighbor thoughts arise, and you can feel they're unwholesome, so you let go of them. And then you might be inspired and to undertake, to be dedicated to want these kinds of thoughts to not arise again. You don't want to live under their force. You don't want to live under their influence. And so the first right effort is to have the desire, the wish, the inspiration to initiate, to live in such a way that you have the non-arising of new unwholesome actions, that nothing arises unwholesome. So there might be things you can do. Maybe you know that if you peruse a shopping website, that you know that greed will come up for you and you will be wanting. And so maybe you don't need to go on the website because you don't want that greed to come up. Maybe you know that when you watch horror movies, that then what arises is anxiety and aversion to being in the world. And so why watch a horror movie that brings up these unhealthy tendencies? maybe there's things we can do that are healthy and appropriate that protect you from the birth and the arising of unwholesome activity. Maybe you've learned that meditation is but one of those protections. And if you meditate every day, you're less likely to get caught in the unhealthy reactive states of mind. So the first right effort involves a decisiveness, a decision, an inspiration, a love to protect yourself from what is unhealthy and to initiate what it takes to prevent the unhealthy from arising. The second one is if, in fact, some unhealthy state of mind, desire, wish, activity arises in you, and you recognize it. You recognize it's undermining you, it's not healthy for you. It's not really good to be stressed all the time. Not always good to be caught in these things all the time. And you have the wisdom to see that. Then there can be arise the inspiration, the desire, the wishing to do. Like, okay, I'm going to try here. The desire to to let go, to abandon these things which are unhealthy and unwholesome. And the Buddha primarily focuses on mental states, because mental states are the birth for actions in the world. The third one is have the same kind of inspiration to engage, to follow through on, to live this way, and that is to do the things that inspire healthy states of mind to arise. Maybe spend time with other people who inspire goodness in you. Maybe it's to meditate. Maybe it's not to watch horror movies or war movies, but watch documentaries about people that inspire goodness in you. Maybe spend time reflecting on your own goodness. Maybe just simply meditate. It's okay to want to live with a healthy states of mind. But then the fourth is the one that inspires me the most. The fourth right effort is from time to time, wholesome, healthy states of mind have arisen. And we recognize it. We know now to see, oh, this is good. This is not just like, you know, a good because it's on the manual of good human behavior. This feels good. This is inspiring for me that I'm having this. This is good. So this is what the Buddha says about that. The practitioner strongly undertakes and strongly initiates the taking up, the holding up of a mind. So here, we're holding up a mind. We're holding up a way of being with the mind. It is not just having the right mind state. There's a whole orientation of awareness, of stability of mind, or a mind which is wise, a mind which is here. There's a real presence of mind that allows for this. So we're inspired with this presence of mind to have it that gives rise to a wish, a desire. So intentionality is important, to be inspired. The desire for practice, the Dharma desire, comes out of a healthy mind. Desire for the, here's the real zinger for me. There are six different verbs that the Buddha describes here to really give emphasis. So one has the desire for those wholesome states that have arisen. One has a desire for their continuation, non-forgetting. Maintain them. Don't forget about them. Let them increase into a sense of abundance. Let them become abundant. Cultivate them. Care for them like a gardener that cultivates and nourishes the growth of a plant. And bring them to fulfillment. This is a powerful word, fulfillment. Fulfillment kind of means let it fill you. This is not about letting go. This is not about a life of simple renunciation, like nothing counts, just let go of everything. This is a life where certain things are allowed to grow and develop into a feeling of abundance and to fill you with kindness, to fill you with joy and Dharma happiness, to fill you with wonderful, happy feelings of virtue, fill you with generosity, with kindness, fill you with awareness, fill you with peace. This is inspiring. So a mind that really feels the wisdom of living in a healthy way, a mind that really feels the wisdom of avoiding what is unhealthy for us. This is what the teaching of wholesome and unwholesome is about. And only you can be the mediator of this. Only you can be your teacher for this. And only you can do this work, because it has to do with the state of your mind. And for the Buddha, there's a high kind of expectation of us that each of us becomes the custodian of our own inner life. We don't farm it out to other people to do for us. We learn how to have the presence of mind where we can track this and make the choices moment by moment, maybe small little choices each moment as we go along, to stay close to what is wholesome, avoiding what is unwholesome. So thank you, and very much. And I have a couple of announcements, if I may take a few more minutes. So I'll be away teaching at IRC for, I think, the next 4 weeks. And I think I'll come back, I think, the last Monday of September I'll be here again. And we have these wonderful teachers that come and replace me. And I've been very gratified by meeting people who have been thanking me for these wonderful teachers that replaced me when I'm gone. And I agree that IMC has really great people. And if you'd like to do more things online with IMC, we have a number of things online. And there's two new things that are happening that are kind of the next generation of teachers coming up that are fascinating to wonderful people to listen to and be engaged with. And they teach online on Tuesday evenings and in person here at IMC on Thursday evenings. And I'm very, very happy to have them here and encourage you to check them out. So thank you all very much, and I'll see you all at the end of this month-long retreat that I'm teaching.